Hey gang, welcome back. It's Jeremy again this week. It's We Watch Stuff 94. I'm here with Shahid. What's going on, man?
Nothing much. I hope everyone's enjoying their week on this post-WrestleMania week. How's everything with you, sir?
Well, like I said before we started, I'm starting to crash a little bit, so I'm glad you've got a lot to say this week. Let's put it that way. One thing. Well, now let's do wrestling, then I'll ask the other thing. So WrestleMania 33 is coming and gone. Raw's coming and gone. SmackDown's coming and gone. We have a new NXT tonight, which we won't talk about because we didn't see it. How's your wrestling weekend going? How did it go, I should say?
My wrestling weekend, or wrestling week, went fine. This is the first one in 6 years where I was home. So I watched WrestleMania from home. Raw and SmackDown. I'm glad I watched Mania from home this year, because as long as it was, I would have probably fell asleep live.
I was very lucky my buddy Frazier was over, because if he wasn't, I would have. You know, you can't fall asleep on company, but... And I sat there and watched it from 5 o'clock until the end. So I was at the end of that, and... Luckily, it's kind of bittersweet. With The Undertaker leaving, there was no way I was shutting the TV off until they went off the air. And then as soon as it went off the air, Frazier's like, I gotta go. It's like, yeah, that's fine. And just went straight to bed.
Yeah, it's 7 hours. Like, it's a 2-hour pre-show. It's scheduled for 4, and it goes an hour over. Like, I thought last year was dragging it. And this one was longer than last year. Like, this one was better than last year. But that's too much wrestling. I'm like, everyone has their limits. Now, I think it actually affected the show, because it's kind of like, you could tell, it seemed like the majority of the matches that had the most energy was in the beginning, like the first half of the card, up until the only, like, beside, I guess, Brock Goldberg, and then parts of Taker Reigns, because it was Taker Reigns. It was like, the crowd was tired.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you just out there in that hot ass Orlando, and they were talking about how hot it was earlier. That hot ass Orlando sun, and it's not like we got a bunch of triathlons in the stands anyway. So, and I don't blame them, because it's like, that's just the long ass show.
I remember the last time it was in Orlando. We got there; it was in the 80s. We're like, God, this sucks. The sun went down, the wind picked up, and it was like 50 up there. And I was thinking the same thing was going to happen this year, but apparently it didn't. It stayed warm even after the sun went down. But one funny thing no one's talked about, last time they were in Orlando, fireworks fell in the crowd and burned some people.
Yeah.
This time, the stage caught on fire.
It did?
Yes.
They cut away from it.
And there are pictures online. I think it was Undertaker's pyro. You know, when the flames shoot up in the air, they didn't stop, and it burned through. So they were over there, hurry up, putting it out real fast.
Wow.
So it's like, wow. Because I noticed there were no fireworks in the stands this time. So.
Yeah, they were all, like, out and about. And I will say this about WrestleMania. Like, people, there's a lot of complaints about WWE. No one touches still when it comes to, like, spectacle, especially the big shows. Like,
yep.
The stadiums, the setup, the rings, the fireworks. Like, I think, when did it sink in? I think the first Divas match, first women's match, and like the whole setup with the outfits and the fireworks, I'm like,
that Charlotte, they were spot on with camera angles. I usually bitch how they blow spots. Nope. That was, Charlotte came out, and what was she supposed to be? It wasn't a peacock. Or was it?
It was kind of like a tribute to Flares, but a different color.
Okay. And then they had the fireworks going off in the back, and they had the low angle shot with her and everything in the background. And then they did that with a lot of people. But then at the end, after Roman won, you've seen that picture, right?
Yeah, I've seen that picture. I'm like, that's like a Zack Snyder like movie shot.
Yeah,
I'm like, I don't know who took that picture, but give them all money, because it's just him looking like he's about to conquer the world, all the fireworks out. And yeah, it's like WrestleMania, they always bring it when it comes to like the outfits. And it's funny, it wasn't a lot of big entrances. The Divas had a big one. I laughed at Triple H's because I'm like, these are just two grown-ups playing tough guys. Like if your parents were like accountants,
yeah.
But they used to be like badasses like 20 years ago. Because it's like these are two middle-aged people, but the workout, they look like Stephanie was looking wow, like top-notch. When she's not smiling like that demon smile when she shows all her teeth and throws some makeup on, but like she can look great when she wants to. Mm-hmm. And Triple H on the bike with the cops. I was just laughing because I was like, of course, like I was trying to figure like what they were going to do because I knew Triple H was going to do something because he's known for that. And when they came out the police and him on like the granddad bike with Steph on the back, I just started laughing because I was like, this is just so age appropriate for them.
Yeah, it really did kind of scream of dad in midlife crisis on a bike, which was, I mean, but it was funny. The people who got the biggest entrances lost.
Yeah.
Which I thought was pretty funny. Like, well, you're not winning, so we're going to make sure everyone remembers your entrance instead of your loss. But, I mean, we're not going to review WrestleMania, obviously, because it's already done to death.
I'll just say this. Which match was your favorite match?
The overall match, Shane and AJ. One, because I was dumbfounded how good it was. And two, it was just good.
Same. Yeah. I'm in the same boat. Not so much. I wasn't that surprised because, like, one, AJ Styles is AJ Styles, and two, it's funny. Like, we've seen enough of Shane McMahon to know that he's going to do some crazy stuff at WrestleMania. Like, it shouldn't be that surprising. I was surprised, like, by some of the stuff he's done, but it's kind of like if he's in the ring with somebody that can move around and someone like as good as AJ Styles, like, I wasn't this whole people just shocked because I'm like. No, it was a good match. I wasn't that surprised. It was a good match. I was surprised about how good it was. And it's hilarious about how Shane has those crappy punches, but AJ shows up with a black eye on SmackDown because he throws those clumsy-ass real punches. And some of that MMA stuff, I was watching it. When he was hitting them, he was hitting them. It wasn't no, I'm a fake hit you like Kane and smack my arm. It's, I'm a punch you in the face or knee you in the stomach. I was like, AJ's earning that money because ouch.
Well, I mean, he had the black eye, and that's why I liked SmackDown last night because that was an angle they just threw together so AJ had a match. And I really enjoyed how it was. AJ came out still kind of cocky and bragging, just stuck his hand out, and I really liked the fake punch or the flinch or whatever. And then he just threw his arms out like, gotcha, and it walked out. Like, that was it. I really enjoyed that last night on SmackDown. To like tie up that whole story just like that.
It's funny. Eric Leiden had posted an article on his page. I think it was some Bleacher Report or a Sports Nation writer. Like, it was her first time watching it. And one of the things that stood out that I thought was funny was she was talking about the AJ Shane McMahon match, and she was like, I like AJ Styles, even though I got the feeling that I'm not supposed to. And that's somebody this is her first time watching WrestleMania, watching wrestling. And she came to that conclusion. And it's kind of like she sees the same thing that like everybody else sees. And people always wonder, like, what are the whole video packages for and anything like that? I was like, it's for people who are casual watchers. Because you cannot watch wrestling. And if you watch WrestleMania, you'll kind of get an idea what's going on from the packages. Yeah. And that says a lot. Like, it's for us, it's kind of like, oh, we got to see this. Like, we know what's going on. And it's like, it's not really for us. It's for the lapsed fan or the new fan, and it's more than you would think considering how long WWE's been around.
I enjoyed, like, for just going to like how long it's been around, I really enjoyed this one. I'm not sure if I enjoyed the card, but the spectacle of everything, the atmosphere, I think the outdoor venue, I think that suits WrestleMania way better than indoor stuff. And maybe it was only because of how they did the set this year, but that set was incredible.
Yeah. I think, one, the set was incredible. Two, the fact, like, that, as long as that ramp, they said it was 80 yards. I'm like, I made a joke, like, Calvin Johnson went through, like, 9 seconds to run down that ramp. He runs like he used to run like a 4.3, 4.4, 40. Like, that's a long ass ramp. That's the first thing you notice. And outside works as long as the weather works. And the one thing about it is, like, sound tends to. I've always, like, outside looks better, indoor sounds better, depending on the sounds, because the sound doesn't just vanish on, like, they do the outside shows where it just goes, you know, up in the atmosphere. Even though this stadium, it seemed like the sound was better this year than last year, even though Dallas is indoors, because Dallas Stadium is just so much larger.
Yeah.
This one is kind of like, it was funny. I enjoyed this year a lot better than last year, even though there weren't any great matches. There were just a whole bunch of good to very good matches and a lot of cool. And I think it's a lot of cool moments. Like when the Hardys came out, I was gobsmacked because I know people were talking about it, but I was like, I'm expecting them to be in WWE. I didn't think they were going to show up at WrestleMania.
Like I said earlier in the day, I was hoping that I was hoping for the broken gimmick, which they're kind of sort of hinting at, but I was hoping for lights go out on New Day for whatever reason, let the crowd eat it up, and then the lights came up and there they were. I mean, they could have pulled it off with that damn stage. But then the way they did it, I mean, I liked the tease because New Day was dressed to fight earlier in the night. And then they came out, and as Kevin said too, it makes sense if they get in the match. I mean, they were tag champs. But when the Hardys' old music hit, dude, that was awesome. That place is for as quiet, if you want to, I'll just use that word, for as quiet as it was. When that came out, oh my God. Could you imagine if that was indoors?
Yeah, it'd been deafening. Like, because you got to keep in mind how popular the Hardys are. Like to the fact where CBS Sports on Twitter was doing something about, you know, UNC broke Gonzaga and deleted. Like, they basically used their catchphrase talking about the damn championship game on the official CBS Sports Twitter. Like, that's, like, this whole Matt Jeff Hardy thing had legs. And keep in mind, it's a WrestleMania crowd, and it's an Orlando crowd. Like, so that's basically, it's funny where that's considered almost their home turf. And just think about the Hardys. They went from the fact when that first broken stuff started, and we were laughing how ridiculous it was, they went to being TNA World Champs, to ROH World Champs, to WWE World Champs in like a 12-time period. Like, that's amazing. I think the whole thing is they're still fighting little stuff with the gimmick with them and Anthem. I think it's kind of like Anthem doesn't mind them using as long as they get a percentage. Matt Hardy said that's theirs, and WWE is kind of like, we got to work this out before we can go one way or the other. It's kind of like they want the fans to do it, but they don't want to do it too much and get in trouble while still, like, cloudy. And yeah. You can kind of tell by the way they're acting.
Well, even I liked, he was still doing the wonderful. He was holding the hands out, you know, like he usually does. Jeff just kind of went screw it and abandoned it. But, I mean, that was Matt's thing. So I bet you it's going to be hard for him to give that up. And he's still using the words, but he's not enunciating it the same. And then he's also doing the movements, and then the crowd did it. And he's like, well, I just moved my arm. So, you know, plausible deniability. It's like, hey, I just got, you know, just happens. So
yeah, so know.
But that was my favorite part, was them coming out. I mean,
so the other match that I liked the most, and it was funny how short it was Goldberg and Lesnar. Because it was basically like, you know what, we're just going to do finishing moves. We're going to be the best 5 minutes. I will not lie. When Leonard did that leapfrog over that spear, I actively, like, screamed out loud. Like, caught myself, because I was like, people forget how great an athlete Brock Lesnar is, and people make the jokes like he skips legs. I'm like, this man is a freak of nature. But even then, you're not thinking like he's going to leapfrog, and he leaped it. Like he was leaping over a damn truck. And I was like, wow, I was not expecting that. And he just went in, suplex, 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 and pin after. It's funny how that match, and normal people complain about psychology and stuff like that, and no one cared about that match because Brock hit 3 straight suplexes and Goldberg hit with a spear as soon as he got up on the third one.
That was awesome.
And it was so unexpected because, like, the camera didn't catch him. Like, you see the third suplex, you see Brock celebrating, and then all of a sudden you hear Cole talking about, like, next thing I know, I see a shoulder. I'm like, what happened? And then you realize, like, Goldberg, he just no-sold to hit him with a spear, rolled up, hit him with another one, then hit him with one in the barricade. Like, yeah, they were not messing around.
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned that third, that after the third German spear, because Brock, the reason it was so awesome is, one, you didn't expect it, but two, I'm sure that was a called spot, obviously, but Brock wasn't turned around to see it.
No.
So when all of a sudden Lesnar, I get it backwards, Goldberg hits him, and then Lesnar's head turns like shit, and then hits the mat. And I was like, wow, what? And I mean, I'll be honest, a part of me was like, no, 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 no. Goldberg's not winning this. He is not winning. And when he hit the jackhammer,
he was wondering though.
Yeah, when he hit the jackhammer, I was like, are you kidding? Are you kidding me? And then he kicked out. I was like, oh, thank God Brock's going to win. Okay, yeah. All right, that's good.
And it was kind of like, you know, and the whole thing has always been nobody kicks out the jackhammer, like, mm-hmm. since he's been doing it. When he was doing it at WCW, when he came out to WWE, like, he hits that, it's a wrap. And the fact that that was, like, you kind of knew it was going to happen. But even then, it's kind of like, oh, they're not going to do a third. Maybe they like Goldberg so much that it's going to help Brock to kick rocks. But, no, once he kicked out, you kind of knew what was going to happen.
Yeah.
And it basically happened. I know what the worst thing was. That nonsense with Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton.
Okay, worst match, obviously. And I thought Ambrose and Corbin was bad. And then they got into that horse shit. And we talked about this last night on Stunk Granny. I don't understand the thought process behind Bray Wyatt and his powers right now. He uses all right, in the context of the story, he uses all this magic. And Kevin was openly laughing at, like, okay, so I'm wrestling, and all of a sudden there are maggots, giant maggots on the mat. Why is that supposed to scare me?
Like, I'd be more freaked out. It's funny, though, when my wife saw it, she started laughing. She's like, what kind of cheesy stuff is this? I was watching upstairs on screen. Like, I have, like, a 130-inch screen. So I'm watching it, and I was like, ugh. I actively recoiled, because I'm like, this is disgusting. Not like I was scared. I was like,
yeah.
Who thought this was a good idea? The crowd, they was like, what?
Didn't they start chanting, this is stupid? Or that was stupid or something?
They like, maybe by like the second or third time. And I know the idea is to make Bray Wyatt like the new Undertaker, but you got to come up with some better magical powers than try to, like, I doubt Randy Orton is afraid of maggots. Like, he realizes, like, his arms are on the mat. He realizes it's not real. So it's not like he's going to actively recoil when he's about to sit up the RKO and, like, oh, it's a cockroach. Let me move. So,
okay, so, yeah. All right, I'm glad you said that. That's what I thought those were. But I listened to Dave Meltzer. He said crickets. And then Chris and Kevin also thought they were crickets as well. And I'm like, I don't know, because I haven't gone back to watch. I mean, why would I? But crickets just seem stupid. Those aren't creepy. You feed those to your lizards. But a cockroach, you want to smash the shit out of those. So I would believe that's what those would have been, right?
Whatever it was. It was, yeah. Just like, that, I was just rolling my eye. And that's a title match. And that match was just trash. Yeah. Like, I guess, I don't know if it was like they were trying to kill time or what it was, or just, yeah, like, that, because at least like the mixed tag match was bad because they didn't do anything, but that was set up for the proposal. And I will say this, that was a big ass rock.
It's funny, I listened to Jim Ross's podcast today with Meltzer on it, and Jim Ross was, he goes, you hear the damnedest things in wrestling, and he goes, there were people that were questioning whether or not John can write that ring off as a working expense, and there were other wrestlers, and then he goes, and this was all backstage Sunday after it happened. And Meltzer was just quiet, because I don't know if he just didn't believe him or if he was just in shock. I know I was in shock. I mean, what a cold response. Because there were people openly wondering if that was a work or not. It's like, oh, holy man. Crap.
You know, it was funny about the reaction, because it was like the women and kids were into it. Like, women were crying. My friends were hitting me up, like my women friends, like, They didn't know about WrestleMania, but they heard about that. They were asking me, like, is that real? Did that really happen? I'm like, I'm sure he probably proposed early, anything like that. But I'm like, fuck, I guess they're getting married and everything like that. She's like, I saw the ring and that's awesome. And because a lot of people will actually watch Total Divas. And it's funny, the guys were like, oh man, I can't believe my girl fell for this stuff and how cheesy and everything. And it's like, you know, it's marriage proposals happen in wrestling. Like when they're done straight, they work because it's cool. Like, you know, women eat that up. I was like, it's funny. I was listening to the speech and I'm like, if this is real, that's an awesome ass story. Like the whole thing, yeah. Like I asked you something right before you go into surgery and I wait a year because I knew you weren't going to remember because of the drugs and stuff like that. Like, yeah, it seems like some Hollywood nonsense, but I've gone, like, I don't know if you've had surgery, you've gone under.
Oh, yeah.
I've had surgery and gone under. So my wife, like, I could actually see that happening because those drugs will knock you the hell out. And they actually tell you, like, don't try to make any decisions after surgery because you're liable to say anything. So, yeah.
I enjoyed that. I mean, the John Cena stuff, I thought it's a little conflicting because I thought Miz looked really awesome. The crowd loved him. He was the clear bad guy. But the crowd loved him. He was playing it up. He was beating John Cena's ass. And then it was like, hey, Mike, we got to get out of here. Okay, cool. Bang, match is over. And I'm like, oh, damn it. It was like the Miz is coming out party of sorts. And I know he wasn't going to win. He couldn't have. I mean, he could have. And then after, you know, John could have just been like, well, you know, it didn't work out, but I got something else that didn't work out. And then they go into the story. Whatever. So that was kind of bittersweet because, you know, Cena's not going to be around, as Miz and Maryse pointed out last night. But it was fine, and then he gets in the ring, and he's like, I got a story, and I'm like, here it comes. It's like, okay, now this match makes sense. Okay. So, I wanted to talk about the Hall of Fame a little bit, but there was one match on the show, we touched on it earlier. I think it's getting a bad rap. It wasn't technically a bad match at all. But for the length of the show and the pace of this match, the Triple H Seth Rollins one.
Glad you brought that back.
That killed the crowd.
Yeah, because they didn't want that.
No.
They gave a match. That's the whole thing. It was a well done match that told a smart, great story, but the fans didn't want to see that. And it's kind of like, and Meltzer talked about it, and I heard other people talk about it. I think it was a combination of it was a long match, they were already tired. And they didn't want to see that type of match. And it's kind of like, sometimes you get in the whole thing, it's like you want to see what you want to see. And if you don't see it, it doesn't matter how good it is. You go on, like, whatever. And they wanted to see, like, brawls, like flips and punch kicks and, like, a fight.
Yeah.
And they told a story. Like, Triple H was basically, like, working the knee. And Seth kept trying to do stuff, but do some bad knee because, like, he couldn't help himself. Like, I can't change my offense even though I should, and I keep hurting myself, and then Triple H is making it worse. And it's like, when he finally did stuff, like the whole setup where I think it was like four or five reversals to see who hit the pedigree, because that's both their moves, so they would know how to set it up and how to block it, like stuff like that just gets ignored because it's kind of like, you know, like they picked up at the end, and especially the whole thing when Steph went through the table, because you forgot the table was there.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you see, like, you know, like Triple H almost hits her, then stops, and then gets bumped in, and she goes to the table, and you see Triple H's face, and he just loses his damn mind. Like, he was controlled and calm the whole time. Like, I'm under control. I'm laughing. I got this. As soon as he sees his wife go to the table, like, he just lost his damn mind, and then turns to get hit with the pedigree.
And the crowd picked up for the last 5 minutes, but, and then I don't remember what was next. But that suffered a bad fate too, and then Brock and Goldberg, I think, got him back.
Yeah, I think it was the title match.
Yeah, was that Bray and Randy?
Yeah.
Yes. All right, that would explain it.
Because people were wondering, like, was the women match gonna get bumped? Because it's kind of like it's late in the show. I've told somebody, like, you know, it's all three matches. Like, it's four matches left, and it's like an hour left in the show, and they had the rap. They had the 10-minute concert, so they are not worried about, you know, time. For that, so you know, like, some of the matches, because like the Rock match wasn't that long, the women match wasn't, like, the SmackDown women match wasn't that long. They got in what they got in. You could tell they were kind of rushing. But then the main event match yeah, it was kind of like people. It was funny how that match broke down, because it was like you kind of knew what was going to happen, and it was basically like Roman Reigns trying to. It was almost like the end of Logan, almost like Roman Reigns is just trying to murder the Undertaker, and the Undertaker just keep trying to get up, and he doesn't want to get pinned, but he wasn't really fighting. It's just, I'm just trying to stand up and to get knocked down again. And you can see Roman's like, just stay the hell down. Mm-hmm. I'm going to keep on, but if you don't, I'm going to keep on sparing you till you do.
Somebody made the observation that if there's silver lining to all of this, is that we now know that Roman Reigns can supercharge his spear by running the ropes. So that was kind of funny, actually. Like, and like, I didn't hate that match. It was exactly what I said I didn't want to see. And it was Undertaker, old Undertaker hobbling around. And that wasn't part of the, I'm sorry, it was part of the story, but that was also reality too.
Yeah.
And it just came out now that he was supposed to have hip replacement surgery, but he put it off. So can you imagine the amount of pain he was in that thing? And then just to go out, and it was, they showed that picture of, it wasn't on the broadcast, but someone put it up of him, Triple H, and Shawn Michaels after their Hell in a Cell match. Mm-hmm. He looked awesome. He was tan, ripped. I mean, for as much as Undertaker used to be ripped. Yeah. And then you looked at that, it was like, I didn't want to see that. And then I was like, I didn't even hate Roman Reigns 1. I didn't hate the fact that, you know, I've seen people commenting that he should have shook hands or shown respect or something. It's like, whatever.
Yeah, Undertaker wouldn't have won that. I'm like,
no.
Undertaker is Mr. Old School, kind of like, you know, if he's probably one of the last few people that's kind of like, we do things the right way. It's a time and place to do stuff. And the fact that he went and, like, kissed his wife, you kind of knew it, like, after the match. Yeah, that was a
break from his character.
Yeah, it's kind of like, okay, it's done. Because he never, like, even when Ric Flair retired, like, you know, he came out to celebrate, but he didn't break character. Like, Undertaker almost never breaks character. So the fact he did that's kind of, you know, it's kind of like, you know, he's 52. And you heard Goldberg, especially on Raw, talking about, like, it's a pain in the ass trying to be in shape when you get old. And Goldberg hasn't had nearly as much, like mileage on him as the Undertaker had. Goldberg is like, this is a headache. Like, once you hit a certain age, it's hard looking like that, moving like that, even though it's just once a year. People think, oh, it's just one time a year. Like, it's still wrestling. Those, you know, you bouncing off of steel beams, hitting canvas, landing. How many times he's landed on his hip? His hips are probably just, like, you see, look at, like, how Mick Foley and Hulk Hogan move around.
Yeah.
Like, and you know, like, Hulk Hogan didn't wrestle some crazy style, but he did the leg drop for 20 years and ruined his damn pelvis. He walks around like he's 90. So, yeah, I'm glad. Let him, like, he's earned it. He's wrestled a long ass time. He has a lot of memories. It still feels funny because I heard a lot of people talk about, like, you know, I didn't watch wrestling, but I know the stuff happened with the Undertaker. And it's like, he's really retired. I'm like, sound like it. They was like, wow. Because, like, Taker wrestled when we were kids and teenagers.
Yeah.
And we're adults. Like, I'm 38. And I was, let me see, when he came, what, 91, 92? So I was 11, 12 years old when he started, like, not even counting WCW, just when he was in WWF. Like, I was an early teenager when he started. I'm almost 40 now.
Yeah, no, I remember, I mentioned this last night, I remember seeing Undertaker when I was in 7th or 8th grade. I mean, that's ridiculous. I'm 43 now. That's just ridiculous. So, yeah, I did. So what I was saying was, now what I said was, it's not like I'm not gonna miss him because he hasn't been around. You know, you can't miss something that's not there anymore. But at the same time, there's going to be that lingering, especially when it comes to next year around WrestleMania time, and it's like, all right, who's taking? Oh, nobody.
Yeah.
So,
and it's funny to stick in about the only match. It's kind of like two matches he didn't have that people talked about, like the one with Sting, because that was more like, you know, fan stuff. It was like that bull, and you never thought it happened up until Sting actually joined WWE. But by then, it was kind of like it just didn't happen for reasons. And then everyone always assumed John Cena would be the one that retired. And I think it's funny, even John Cena talked about this year, like if when he had the promo with Miz, like if I had much stroke as you think, I'd be fighting The Undertaker now. And it was like they were planning the fight, and then it got changed. So, you know, then end up with him having a mixed tag match, and then Roman Reigns doing, and like, but other than that, it's like, it's weird where next year WrestleMania, he's not there. It's gonna feel funny.
Yeah,
because it's like you think of WrestleMania, and like they call Mr. WrestleMania for a reason. This is the fact you even when he wasn't either on the show, he was always around. Like you always thought about him, and now you don't. It's gonna take time getting used to. It's almost like the same thing. Like I'm like Shawn Michaels, I think is kind of like that where you see him looking all healthy and like he can still wrestle, and it sounded like he's going to stay retired. And it was assumed when he retired, like, yeah, he's going to come back. Everyone comes back. He might be the one. He's like, because they've asked him, like they asked him, you want to have a match with Daniel Bryan? He said no. They asked him, you want to have a match with AJ Styles? They said no. They talked about maybe him having a match with The Rock. He said, well, it's kind of like he could come back, and he's, you know, and he's healthy. Undertaker's not healthy. Undertaker's old.
Yeah.
Got kids, you know. So, yeah. Let him ride off in the sunset. It's going to be funny seeing him post-wrestling, like him at the Hall of Fame or like a DVD, like him actually talking or something like that. That's going to be the weird thing. Like him just being, because it's been a while since like he was Biker Taker.
Yeah. It's always funny when they include those too. And the one that really stands out, and we'll have to wrap this up because we've got some more on some other not so fun topics. That ministry angle, that ministry look, where he had like the jet black hair, the long goatee. That's the startling look when you're going through all this stuff.
Yeah, when he looked like the devil, basically,
yes, yes.
And was acting like the devil. Yeah. It's funny where, like, I guess that's like early Attitude Era. Like, him and Austin just dominated everything, and you just realize. See, it's kind of like when one thing about WWE Network, you realize how important The Undertaker was, because he was almost never mid-card. He was either, like, main event, or he was doing his own thing somewhere else, and it's kind of like he was always around. Whatever he had, but didn't have the belt, and some of the stuff was like, you brought up, you know, basically he was the devil kidnapping people and crucifying them with half the roster on his team, or he's riding around in a bike like he won a lynch, but like him dragging Hulk Hogan through the SmackDown arena on his bike will never get old. I was just laughing because I'm like, this is a damn hate crime, and I'm laughing my ass off because it was kind of like, part of me felt like Undertaker enjoyed dragging Hulk Hogan because he probably couldn't stand Hulk Hogan in real life. So he's like, oh, I get to do what?
He's like, all right, so don't go above 10 miles an hour. 15? 10. All right.
Okay,
Hulk's bouncing behind it. Hey, I said 10. Can't hear you.
Yeah, and just the fact that he went from all that and then he started doing MMA moves. And it's kind of like he went from he was a super athlete to he was kind of lazy. And then all of a sudden, like his late 30s, early 40s, he became Mr. MMA and started having four. Like that first match he had with like Kurt Angle. And it was like, wait, when did Undertaker like become great? Like Undertaker started getting better again, I guess, when the whole invasion stuff stopped and he started caring. And I remember that triple threat match with him, Brock, and Kurt Angle. For the title, that was a great match. But yeah, that match he had with Angle, I was like, he's doing triangle chokes. And like, it was just weird seeing an Undertaker do stuff like that. And then to see him now, like, basically, Mr. Old Man or River having those great matches with Shawn Michaels and Triple H, and that not great match with CM Punk, and then just, you know, Lesnar almost murdering him. And yeah, we still remember, we both went to New Orleans. We remember what happened when he lost, because it was like, yeesh. I thought it was a screw up. I was like,
yep.
Wait, did he hit the, like, they had to hit the three by accident. And they saw the one when they had on the Titantron was like 21-1 or whatever it was, 22-1. And wow, that whole stadium was like shocked, because that was kind of like, you never thought you'd see that. And you definitely didn't think, or if you did think, like, when he retires, no one thought he was going to lose, like, that match.
Well, imagine, I know this is old news, but imagine being the referee in that match. Because the referees are told, you count if the shoulders are down. Can you imagine, like, not knowing he hits three and immediately goes, I'm fucking fired. I'm fired. I'm ostracized. And then it's all okay. You get back there, nervous as hell, and everyone's like, good job. Just go on. It's like, oh, my gosh. And you just go and start drinking. No matter if you got a match later, you just drink a bunch to calm your nerves down.
And hope a fan doesn't recognize you and try to stab you.
Exactly.
Yeah, so kudos to Undertaker. You earned it, and let's keep it moving.
All right. Well, what I wanted to ask you about is actually ties into some of the topics we've got next, because you saw Ghost in the Shell, and then we both saw Marvel's diversity is the problem thing. Our friend Cameron, he put something on his Facebook page, a Pepsi ad with Kendall Jenner.
Oh my God.
I watched the whole thing. I don't know anything about Kendall Jenner other than Bruce Jenner's, Caitlyn Jenner's kid, all right? So I don't see what the problem is, other than I just watched a 2-minute and 39-second music video for Pepsi with a bunch of beautiful actors in it. So I need, honestly, dead serious, I need you to explain what is the problem in this, other than it's exploitive because of real issues being used in a commercial.
That's exactly what the whole thing okay. is. Kind of like, you okay. know, she, the basic commercial saying Black Lives Matter would work as long as you just give a cop a Pepsi. If you give them a soda, racism will stop and they'll stop shooting you. Like, I saw this and
is that supposed to be like the flower in the gun barrel?
Yes.
Oh my God. All right. I'm dead. All right, dead like, set. So, all right.
Yeah, it's kind of like, oh, you know, we have problems and everything like that, but as long as you got a soda, everything will work out. And you know, I'm here, all inclusive. But hold on, black lady, hold my wig while I grab my Pepsi.
I noticed that too.
So, and people ask, it's kind of like, and this has been coming up a lot. Like, when you do certain things, who's in the room with you? Like, and I think the problem comes when everybody's in the room looks exactly like you and thinks the same way. Stuff like this happens because no one's there to say, you know, this might not look too well. This might kind of look a certain way, and that's like stuff like that was poor back in the day, like 70s, 80s, or even like early 90s. But yeah, it's like stuff's changed. You gotta kind of like ask a friend that doesn't look like you, is this cool? I just want to make sure. Like, you know, I know people make the joke saying everybody likes to be offended, and the art of being offended is kind of like, you know, you want to go to college for that. But some stuff is not no snowflake nonsense, or just I'm offended to be offended. Some stuff is like a slap in the face. It's like people out there really trying to do stuff and getting shot just for existing, and you walk around saying, oh, you just give this cop a Pepsi and drink a Pepsi and everything, it's going to be all good. Like, Martin Luther King's daughter came out and said, if only my dad had a Pepsi, maybe he wouldn't have got shot.
She came out with it. Funny. So, well, he didn't get shot by a cop, though.
Yeah, but he's saying, like, it's almost whole thing is like, we could end, like, bigotry and racism and violence. We just drink soda. And it's just,
we'd
like,
be too slovenly to do anything, so.
Yeah, I made a joke like, yeah, if we all had diabetes, we wouldn't have to worry about police brutality.
See, it's like, these things don't bother me because I've seen enough, you know, like I said, 43. I've seen enough commercials that have taken these things and just, or enough companies who have taken real social issues and that and just turned them in and tried to use them in marketing. So it's like, whatever. I was just upset because that commercial took forever. 2 minutes and 39 seconds. And one, I don't really know who the hell Kendall Jenner is. I don't know what she does. So
she's a Kardashian. That's what she does.
That's what I kind of figured. But, and I don't like Pepsi anyways, so I really don't care.
Yeah, that's the combination. It's kind of like one, I've never met people, like, I don't drink either one. Well, I've never met people who prefer Pepsi to Coke. Like, it's kind of, that's always seemed weird. And then two, that family is already polarizing. Like, it's either you love them or hate them. And using them, and like, that's just a bad move. Somebody should have said no. And that comes up to, like, what we're going to lead to. It's like, people don't think stuff out. They don't. They think everything is just all cool and what's the big deal. And usually it comes in because, oh, it doesn't affect me. Or even if it does, I can just keep walking and don't worry about it. And that's what it boils down to.
From that, where do we want to go? Because I didn't see Ghost in the Shell. From what you told me, what I read, I was like, I'm glad I didn't see it. But then the Marvel thing really bugs me. So I don't know what. It's like, I don't want to end the show on a negative, but
I mean, I'll try to go on a positive because both of them kind of negative. They kind of lead into each other. You know, the funny thing is, the only reason I wanted to see Ghost, it was a two-part reason why I wanted to see Ghost in the Shell. Because one, I figured we were going to talk about on the show, and I wanted to actually see it so I could have an idea instead of just going by what other people said or the internet. And I thought you were going to go see it too. So when you were like, that's what you get. You said you didn't like it. Why'd you see it in the first place? And I'm like, what a damn show.
I specifically remember saying on the show last week that I'm intrigued about seeing it, but then it's supposed to be really nice out. So I can come up with all this other stuff for free instead of going to see it. So
yeah. See, it wasn't nice out where I was.
Oh, it's gorgeous here.
So I went, it was like Saturday morning. And I went to one of the theaters. They renovated the seats. It's now like a house. So the ticket was only like $6. But one of the problems of the seats were the screen is so big, and I was kind of like in the middle section. They had the subtitles the subtitles move all over the place. Sometimes they're in the middle screen. Sometimes they're like at the bottom, where I had to stand up sometimes to see what the hell they were saying. But I had to do a lot because even though it was in Japan, only one person spoke Japanese. But let me dive into this movie.
Wow, you know what?
that's a perfect way to start. Let me dive into this movie. I've heard all the reasonings. I've heard all the excuses. I've heard everybody say it's not a big deal. Just wait till you see it. They didn't let the movie be a movie. And it ended up being worse than what people said. Like, I don't know how they made that issue worse than they could have. Like, just by the way they described it. This is the story of the movie. Basically, Scarlett Johansson's playing this girl. She was like, coming to Japan with her parents. A terrorist blows up this ship. Parents dies. She's injured. To save her body, they transport her brain into a new robotic body. And now she's working for this organization that kind of fights crime, that's run by a business corporation. So basically, it'd be like if RoboCop was in Japan and OCP, instead of being in Detroit, is in Japan, and they got the cops in Japan.
Okay.
So she's investigating, as this terrorist that's just killing all these people that's part of the corporation, the higher ups, and she's, investigating to see what's going on. Come to find out, she finds out more than she's supposed to, and yada, 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 and gets revenge. Now, the big thing everyone was using the excuse was when the whole casting came in and everybody looked like, okay, this character is Japanese. Why do they have Scarlett Johansson playing her? And everybody said, what do people say? One, oh, she's not really Japanese. She's a robot. Two, it's not a big, we're telling a universal story. It's identityless. It's a basic identity. Every excuse in the book. Wait till you see it and everything, it'll make sense. And you're thinking, okay, they changed her name because it's kind of like, her name is Makoto Kusanagi, and that's not her name in the movie anymore based on the previews and stuff, and it's kind of like, whatever. So you're watching the movie. Her name's Mira Killiam. No big deal, you're watching. It still looks weird because they're in Japan. She's obviously not Japanese. Most of her team's not Japanese. Her boss is Japanese. he speaks Japanese and everyone speaks English to him. Yet somehow everyone understands each other. Some future stuff. So that's going on, and you're thinking, okay, it looks weird, but whatever. Come to find out, she finds out the truth about herself. She wasn't attacked by terrorists and, you know, had her body replaced. She was a Japanese woman who got kidnapped and got her brain snatched out and put into a robot that looks like Scarlett Johansson. And her name used to be Makoto Kusanagi. So Scarlett Johansson is literally playing a Japanese woman that looks like a white woman. No one is like, did anybody, I'm going to say that sentence out loud and then think about how that sounds. If no one says it's a problem, then go ahead and do it. But it's no way in hell that should have ever happened. Like, what kind of nonsense? Like, what's wrong with people? And I'm sitting there watching this, and the whole setup is kind of like she goes to this Japanese lady's house that she doesn't even know. She's barging, you know, they're there talking, and this Japanese lady is talking to the stranger about, oh, you know, my daughter ran away, and yada, 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 and she died here, and they never told me what happened, and you remind me of her. Why? Why would Scarlett Johansson remind you of your Japanese daughter?
I'm asking this for real. Did she mention, or was it mentioned at all that it was a spiritual thing? Like she had the essence or something?
No, she's saying like it's something about you and everything. And it's like the words would make sense, but Scarlett Johansson, she was trying to play like an anime. She's basically trying to play a robot. I don't blame her, but I do blame the script because it does not work. Like, here's the problem with the movie and the problem with the whole whitewashing thing is it's like someone watched the movie and is like, I want to take the cool stuff, like the settings, the special effects. Like, so the movie's gorgeous. It gets boring after a while, but the movie looks beautiful. The special effects look great for the most part. It is too much of it. But it's like, we want to take all the cool stuff because it's set. For all that talk about international, blah, 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 is in Japan. You see Honda signs. You see Nissan signs. Like, it's clearly Japan. Everything is in Japanese lettering. All the background people are Japanese. But most of the people that you hear talk are all, like, non-Japanese. And I'm trying to figure out what type of feature you have where Japan has all these Japanese people, but is run, all the important people are Americans. Because, like, Japanese is, like, 98 to 99%. Like, Japan is, like, 98 to 99% Japanese in real life. Like, it's the most homogenized nation on the planet. You trying to tell me it's no, like, when Scarlett Johansson finds out what she really is, she just keeps moving. Like, oh, it's no big deal. I know one thing. If I was me, and I lived, like, half my life, and then I got in a car accident, and I woke up, and I looked like Channing Tatum, I wouldn't be like, oh, I guess this is the new me, and just keep walking. I would probably have to go see a therapist or have to deal with the whole fact, like, my whole identity changed. It happened to her. She's like, oh, well, you know, tells the mom, you got to worry. You don't have to go to the funeral anymore, you know, go to the casket anymore. I'm here, and yada, yada, yada. And that's it. It's maddening where they took all the cool stuff, and they were like, you know what? We want to take all the stuff about the movie, but the important stuff we're going to replace them with white people. And that's how I always comes to like this whole whitewashing thing, because it's like they treat everything that's non-white like it's a seasoning. Like it's something that you put on some bland-ass chicken breast that they're making. Like, you know, we can do it better, so that's why we're taking it. And it never works. Never better. That's the big thing. Like, I've never seen an instance where they've done that and it's worked. Or it's worked without complaint. Even Edge of Tomorrow, like, I look at Edge of Tomorrow, we both saw that movie, we enjoyed the movie. The main character is Japanese in book. Oh. What did they do? But they moved, you would never know, because the way it had set up, he's an American soldier, it's set in, like, Europe. You wouldn't even think about it. It's like, you watch this, like, okay, that fits. Like, it's a way to do it, like, change the setting. They should either just, if they want to keep her white, and they want her to be white, move it to New York.
Yeah. Yeah.
And have them run around Chinatown. That's all you could have done. I mean, seriously, like, if you want that vibe, like Blade Runner, and you want the exotic Oriental vibe, have it in like New York 20, whatever, and have them set in like New Chinatown, and just go with it. Like, it still wouldn't have been the best way, would have been a better way. If you're going to do the story you do, then go all the way, like, say, because it's a story to be told, like, the movie could have worked where this American company lands in Japan, is taking these Japanese people, and their idea of improvement, perfection, are taking Japanese brains and putting them in bodies that look white. And I thought about that when I'm watching Get Out, because it's almost the inverse where they want to put white brains in black bodies, like, combine the best of both worlds in their mind. And they're kind of doing the same thing here, because that whole stereotype, like, Asians have beautiful minds, as long as we just fix their Asian faces and Asian bodies. And it's just, it's so damn problematic. Like, that's, like, what are you doing? And the biggest issue I have is the excuse they use. And a lot of movies have been using the excuse, like, you know, we cast the Scarlett Johansson because she's a big star and we couldn't find Asian stars. One, that's only an issue when, I noticed that's only an issue with this whole we need a big star thing when it's a woman. Because when men, like, you remember when Ben-Hur came out? The new one?
Oh. I was just saying no, but yeah, I mean, sort
of. Yeah. Do you remember the guy that was the star of it? No. And that movie had a $100 million budget. You have all these big-time movies with these no-name white people, and they're like, who the hell was Sam Worthington before he did Avatar? Like, you get all these...
Oh, God. Actually, that took me a second. I was like, who the hell was Sam... Oh, yeah, yeah,
okay. Exactly. Like, you know, John Courtney was like the fifth lead on Spartacus, and he's had like five... He's been like four or five different movie franchises for whatever reason, because he looks like a generic white guy. Like, it's plenty of these no-name guys that get chances. Women is like, oh, we need the best of the best. We need Scarlett Johansson because she's one of the few women that can make money and make movies. And it's... They only kind of it's they using her as a cudgel to hold everybody else back, and it doesn't do her any favors, because people been complaining, like, you know, she's one of the biggest movie stars in the world. She can't get a Black Widow movie done, but y'all gonna make her Japanese with Ghost in the Shell, and then wonder why people complain. Like, that's like, what are you doing? Like, don't do it. And all the people making excuses and stuff is kind of like, you think it's not a big deal because it doesn't affect you. And it came the same thing like the Great Wall and what's the other movie? And Iron Fist and Gods of Egypt and Exodus, Sons of Egypt. And it's all these things. People keep saying, oh, we got to do this because nobody want to see brown people or Asian people. And it's like Joel Edgerton is like a big star. Like, all these movies come out, and the biggest issue comes in is like, you convince everybody where, if you want to be truly successful, you got to have a white face in your movie. Even though most of the time it blows up in your face. Great Wall was a China-based production. Majority of people behind the scenes are Chinese. But they thought, if we're going to hit everybody, we meet Matt Damon. Because even, and this is something like, even in China where they have a billion plus people, their own movie industry, they have their own stars, they feel like the only way they'll be truly successful is if we put a white guy in the movie. And that movie bombed. It's like, they got everyone convinced, like, you need to do this. Even though, like, we're going to see Fast and Furious next week. Mm-hmm. Especially with Paul Walker being gone, it's a whole bunch of brown faces in that movie. Does that stop anyone from enjoying it? Nope. Does anyone complain? No. It's like, people just want to see stories. If you tell a good story, it doesn't matter who's in the movie. And you only become a star if you get a chance. Like, star... And... Look at the last two Star Wars movies. Look at their cast.
I was actually... Yeah. It was actually... I don't know if you have anything more to say about Ghost in the Shell, because you were actually moving in a direction where I can have some actual input.
No, I'm done. Cause I would
you know, I mean, no, I'm not ripping you or anything. Yeah. I didn't see it, and I don't disagree with what you're saying. But you were saying... well... I was going to end with Fast and the Furious. Well, Fate of the Furious, excuse me. That it's here. It's next week. And, yeah, Paul Walker's gone. All right, cool. Well, I mean, not cool, but, you know, it's going to continue on. It's going to make a lot of money. It's going to be popular. It's got the cast because we love the characters. And we love the ridiculousness of these movies. That's why they're making this much money now. And somebody that's totally forgotten this point, is apparently the senior vice president of marketing for Marvel Comics. I was dumbfounded. Like, I saw the headline, and I'm like, nah, this guy's a tool. Whatever. And then I started reading it, and then you said you want to talk about Marvel, and I had not forgotten about it, but I was just like, whatever. And then we started talking about this off air, and I was like, oh. The short of it, and just look up, let me get his name correctly. Daniel Snyder? No, Daniel Gabriel? God damn it. Marvel VP of Sales, David Gabriel. Marvel sales have been dropping. They're number two now in the market, the DC. Even they got 200 books a month, it seems. Their sales are down. Their average price is anywhere from $4 to $6, all the way up to $10 for one comic book. And these comic books don't feature characters that one the majority are going to know. And then also the characters that, frankly, haven't really resonated enough. And the problem is clearly because it's made up of a diverse set of people now. That's the excuse he used, that the diversity of their line is not selling because of the diversity of the line. To paraphrase, basically. And I mean, where do you even start with that?
I would start with this. Imagine if you're not even like you. Imagine just you're a comic fan, and you're just a white guy, and someone says that. Then what? How does he look at you? Like, how does that make you? How would that make you feel? Like, oh, well, they ain't buying it because this. No one wants to see diverse stuff. They just want to see white guys. Like, that how you feel about your mark? You know, your consumer base. Like, you're basically calling them bigots. Like that. If I was just a regular white male comic fan, I would be extremely insulted if that said that about me, saying, oh, with that fella, because y'all want to see it. I'm like, no. Like, why don't you just mail me a hood from this Captain America, you know, issue while you're at it? Like, what are you doing? And I've read that, and I'm like, it's hilarious. It's always that. It's this whole thing is kind of like, you know, we would love to do this, but it's this PC stuff, and you got a woman Thor and a black Captain America, and I guess next you're going to have Cyclops in a wheelchair and da-da-da-da-da. And, like, no, maybe it's mad that maybe it's you have all these Secret War this and Civil War, and you got a miniseries tied to a miniseries, and you got all this mess and these crossovers and stuff, and charging the arm and the leg. Like, yeah, I'm an X-Men fan. So I'm reading about the X-Men, and they're talking about putting Magneto in Hydra. You didn't learn your lesson from Captain America, even though kind of you let the story play. Like, people got in a fuss about Captain America joining Hydra because that seemed like, you know, the antithesis of the character. Now you're going to have a Jew join them? Like, huh? And but you're going to blame, oh, people don't want to see an Arab Miss Marvel, even though people buy her comics.
Exactly. Thank you. That's where I was. Yeah. I was going to jump all over that one. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, that's, no. It's always, why don't you, the problem is, you're throwing too much mess on the board. You're charging too much money. And people can't follow around. Like, if I'm a new reader, I wouldn't know where to start. And basically, a lot of times, kind of like, you know what? I'll let them tell the story and finish and buy the graphic novel and wait a year. Because it's not this whole, it's a six-part series, but you got to get this comic to read the other three parts. And then it is going to change it and everything. Like, it's a mess. Don't blame the whole people don't like women and people don't like black people and Asian stuff. Just say it's a mess.
Yeah.
But it's easy to blame this because it happens a lot of times. I always rail about it. And a lot of stuff we like, this complaint comes up because it's this whole thing. It's like, y'all taking my heroes away. I used to have 100 toys, and now I only got 98, and I'm going to lose my mind over the two that was taken away from me.
Yeah, see, my thing with Marvel is, we talked about this on old shows, and you touched on it there too. If I wanted to go back in and actually read them, I would have no idea what's going on. Because looking at it just strictly from looking at pictures, All right. I put in Marvel Diversity, so this was kind of fun. I think this was taken from the latest Secret Wars or something. You've got a chick, a black chick in the Iron Man costume. Then there's the female Thor. Well, you know, Ultimate Spider-Man, depending on when you start looking. Hawkeye's a woman now?
Yes.
This Hulk here looks like the Bruce Banner one, but that one's dead because the original Hawkeye murdered him. We'll just let that sink in. And then, I don't know who this guy is. Gwen Stacy is now called Gwenpool, so not only is she back from the dead, she's a Deadpool clone or something. And my initial reaction would be, who the fuck are these people? Like, where are the people I have to read about? And then I look at the cover price of it and go, $4? Are you out of your mind? I don't know who any of these people are. And I guess in the comic stores, even though it's kind of frowned on now, flipping through and basically reading them and putting them back, but I wouldn't take the chance of spending, let's say I get four. I get the new Iron Man, Awesome Hulk. Is it Totally Awesome Hulk? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Whatever. That's $16 to $20 worth of stuff that I just threw down and reading that going, well, or I'm sorry, even without reading it going, well, I hope this $20 is worth it. And that's for someone coming into it. But then imagine you're reading Hulk or Thor or whatever this, and these are the people you like. And then they go, well, now they're gone. Well, wait a minute, why are they gone? Oh, we're going to change it. Why are you going to change it? Well, because we're going to change it. But I was buying something I enjoyed. Yeah, too bad. We're changing it. It's like, huh?
You know what's funny, though, is that comes up a lot. But the thing I laugh about is, like, people can accept Captain America changed to a werewolf way more than they could accept him being black.
See, I'm still going out for the current readers. All right, let's take the position that it is that the diversity is bothering people. All right, let's try to actually, I'll try and help the guy's argument. You're reading Captain America, and all of a sudden Sam Wilson becomes Captain America. If you're a longtime Cap reader, you really shouldn't have a problem with it because you know who Sam is. It's that character. But then if you're reading Hulk, and all of a sudden Bruce Banner's gone and Amadei is Cho, wait a minute, the side character that was basically like Snapper Carr for the Avengers? He's the Hulk now? Why? You know what I mean? It's like, well, wait a minute, why are they doing this? And then, Marvel thumping their chest on the diversity line. It's like, but I don't really care that he's Korean. That's just not who I want to see anymore. Like,
yeah, it's a way to do it, and it's a way not to do it, and it's kind of like a double-edged sword where if you're just doing it, like a lot of times come off, you know, you're just doing just to do it, and if you're an old-school fan, it's like you feel like you're getting hit over the head with it. But at the same time, this whole I can't relate to stuff is like, how could you – it's funny because it happens in video games too. This idea, like, you see – how could you really relate to Captain America? Like,
yeah.
I know it's a stereotype, like, you see, you know, the comic guy, and it's like, you know, he's in the mom's basement with a Mountain Dew and yada, yada, yada. And that's changed, and it's kind of like, we shouldn't do that. But a lot of times, like, people, this whole, I can relate to this strong-jawed, blue-eyed, blonde guy. I'm like, no, you can't. If you met him in real life, he would stuff you in a trash can. But you at home, and it's kind of like, I can see that, but I can't see no woman and everything. And it's... If you tell a good story,
yep,
you make an enjoyable story, people will follow anything. They will not care. Like, no one gives a rat's ass that Nick Fury looks like Samuel Jackson anymore because they don't. Once you tell enough of good stories with it, they don't care. It's some people that still bitch about Miles Morales being Spider-Man, but most of the time it's like, no, if it's done well, it's done well. And if it ain't, it ain't. And that's what it boils down to. But sometimes it's this whole... Just changing the race it's not going to make people feel better, because it's like, if you change the race and you're doing that in a ham-fisted way and you're not putting any thought behind it, you're pissing off the people that you're pandering to because they feel like they're being pandered to. You piss off the old crowd because it's like you just change it and you're sitting there wondering what goes wrong, and then your whole thing is like, I guess I need to go back to what I need to go back to. And then it's and then the argument say, oh, just make a new character and that'll be fine. Really? Like we talked about this in the show too. Until Deadpool came out, the newest character that had their own movie, not counting Image Comics, was Wolverine. He came out in the fucking 70s.
Yeah.
Like, what's this whole new, I'm just going to find a new and it's going to be a thing. Like, comic people do not embrace new. They like the stuff, like, I like my stuff the way it is. You can make some changes here and there, but that's fine. Like, you know, you change some new, you just add new and say, just let it grow with it. Like, look, Miss Marvel, she's new. She sold a lot of stuff. People are like, oh, when somebody brought up, maybe she'll be in the movies one day. People are like, I'm Carol Danvers first. Like, I can't see. I PC.
She's Miss Marvel.
Yeah.
Danvers is Captain. Yeah, so first, saying, nerds, like, get it right. So.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, they lost their damn mind. Somebody been talking about, and they were saying bring her after Captain Marvel, and people were like, lost it. And it's like, what are you doing? And but this comments like that just makes everybody look bad, because it just reinforced this whole thing of just saying it only sells if it's a white guy, even though history has shown that is not the case. Like, if it's good, everybody like, no matter what color it is. And if it's not, nobody buy. Because Ghost Light goes back. Ghost in the Shell bombed hard. And people try to blame, oh, maybe it was the argument whitewashing and stuff. It's like, no, it's a combination of all of it. It was a boring, bad movie with bad casting that shouldn't have, that basically tried to, you know, you watched the anime one time, you saw the cool stuff, you ignored the, and that's what it comes down to, both in the comics, the movies, and some like Luke Cage. And that's why the biggest issue, and I wanted to go around to it, is the whole whitewashing thing. If you don't understand the essence of something and you just try to copy it, it's not going to work. And that's the biggest issue when it comes to stuff like this. It's kind of like, you see the stuff and you're thinking, oh, it's cool and everything. Like, Ghost in the Shell is like, it's a lot of deep stuff going on. And a lot of it is like culturally based, kind of like what Japan was going through at that time. And it's very nuanced. If you don't have the skill for it, leave it alone. It's too many guys that do not, they are jumping waters they have no business jumping into, and then wondering why they're drowning. Every water is not for you. It's not. But people feel like, oh, I can just do it and just make it better. We made a joke about the Raid remake. Why are they making a Raid remake? Oh, imagine that, but with white guys.
In a smaller task force.
Yeah. Like, why? Why would I think that's better? Like, you can't fight better than them, and you can't direct the action better than the guy who did it. So why would it, you just assume it because it's American? It is, when I say the whole whitewash thing, it's American white. It's not, because not ethnic Italian, Spanish, Polish, Greek white. It's born baloney American white, where it's like, we got a hit. It's like, we trying to find the most inoffensive thing that doesn't piss off people and grab the most people in, and it never works. Never. It's just boring and dull and plain. And we just, and then what's going to end up happening is Scarlett Johansson going to get blamed, say, guess women can't open up a movie after all. Instead of, we should have never made this movie in the first place, is what the story should have been.
Or made that movie.
Like, if you're going to make that movie, get an Asian actress and cut the budget, and you've been fine. Like, there's plenty of Japanese, like, even if you didn't want to have a Japanese actress, even though there are plenty of Japanese actresses, and because when they say diversity, they want money, what they're really saying is, we want China money. Well, get a Chinese, it's Chinese actresses, get one of them. But nah, it's like, when you put a white face, a white face, like, that's, you keep doing that, and you're convincing everybody saying that you need to do it even when it doesn't work, and just keep going this whole thing over and over again. And I want to say a quick thing before we wrap it up. I noticed something that's been happening in movies, and we talked about it, how you used to have to work and earn stuff to kind of like get your chance. And now, like, you notice where, like, Gareth Edwards, he did a small movie first. His second movie was Godzilla. His third movie was World War I. Like, Colin Trevorrow, the guy, he had a small movie, and his second movie was Jurassic World. His third movie is going to be a Star Wars movie. It's kind of like these people getting these first chances and get these big blockbuster movies. These actors getting first chance, and they like, I'm going to be the star of a series. You know how long Will Smith had to work before he like got his own movie and became Will Smith? Like, he was a rapper. He was he had a successful TV show for years. Then he was like, did a couple movies. Like, until, I want to say, Independence Day, where he became Will Smith. And even then, it was like, he had to put the work in. Like, actors and actresses had to work to kind of like get to that spot. And they had to put the reps in and make him successful. And now it's like, unless if you're a white guy, you look a certain way, you in there. You're going to get first dibs directing. You're going to get first dibs acting. And everybody else is like, oh, we can't give it to you until you're successful. You don't get successful until you get a chance. Like, Vin Diesel was a nobody until he did Fast and Furious and Pitch Black.
Mm-hmm.
Who was Vin Diesel? Like, you know, he was some bald guy with a gravelly voice. No one knew what his race was. You know, it's like all that, like Keanu Reeves, all like, you gotta put the work and get the chance to get the reps back in the day. And now it's like, it's a double-edged sword saying, we can't give it to you, you don't have experience, but you don't have experience, nobody give you a chance. Then how are you supposed to get a chance? And we keep getting these mediocre-ass movies from these people who got no business doing movies. It's like, that's the main complaint about the whitewashing thing. It's like, I'm glad we finally got to the place where people don't need to do blackface anymore. Because that was a thing. And I'm like, I'm just glad no one's dumb enough to do that anymore. Why are we still doing this? Like, we can do better. It's not, it's serving, it's making all of us look bad. Every single one of us. Like, do better.
I think part of what you're saying in that is the problem is these studios, they're not even studios anymore. They're companies. I mean, I know it's the same thing, but it's also a race to grab the next hot thing. And like the guys you mentioned, they had those small movies that were pretty critically acclaimed. So the theaters immediately ran out and grabbed them, or the studios maybe ran out and grabbed them. Well, here, there's this. You did good with this, so here, you'll do better with this. And then, who's the guy that directed Creed?
Ryan Coogler.
Marvel snapped him up real quick.
But he's, guess what? It's funny you bring him up, where he did Fruitvale Station.
Yeah.
That made money and was acclaimed. And then he did Creed, which got nominated for Oscars and made money.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, Marvel came and got him. If he'd been a white guy, I'd have been like, oh, you did a commercial? All right.
Hey.
Let's have you do the Flash.
Who's the most successful video director of all time? Michael Bay.
But Michael Bay didn't become Michael Bay. But guess what? You know what? I'm glad. You know what? I'm glad you brought him around, because I was thinking about Michael Bay. Even Michael Bay had to put the work in, because he was a video director. Like, Bad Boys, he did that on a budget. And somehow, surprisingly, it made a whole lot of money. And then he got The Rock. Still a budget. And that made a whole lot of money. He had to have like two hits in a row before they like say, you can do whatever you want.
Well, he
like,
was also, luckily, that was with Jerry Bruckheimer and at the time.
And Don Simpson. Yeah.
So you know there were some major parties going on there. And they were like, all right, Mike, just go make this thing. And he's like, all right, cool. And then Don Simpson dies. And Bruckheimer's like, no, you're my boy now, so don't worry about it.
Yeah, but like even then he had to have like hits. And now like if you had something that seemed nice and people like it in an art house, like it's a big jump from having a budget like $1 million to a budget of $200 million, and everybody can't handle it. Like
Josh
Trank or Josh Whedon for that matter. It's kind of like he's Mr. Nerd Guy, and he got burnt out by all the stuff that's coming in. And it's kind of like, you know, I know it's like you want to get the next best thing and they want to get a good stuff. Get the right person. Like, it's too many people that had this film, like, you know, only a certain group can do stuff well. And everyone else has got to, like, you got to prove before you give you a chance. Like, compare, and I guess we can end with this, and I was thinking about it. I was looking at, like, Denzel and George Clooney and compared their career, and it's kind of like, from the outside, like, if you just look at them, it's like, oh, you know, they're both acclaimed actors. They're kind of, like, even, everything like that. But if you really look deep, is they nowhere close. Like, they both started on TV. Like, George Clooney was on ER. He was a big-time guy on ER. Denzel was on St. Elsewhere. He's a big time guy on St. Elsewhere.
God, I forgot he was on St. Elsewhere.
Yeah. Like, you know, they started with small movies and, you know, started doing some big stuff and everything like that. But Clooney gets up. He can make movies whenever he wants. He can have his own production company, everything like that. How many movies of his has really made a lot of money?
Yeah.
Like the Ocean's movies, and Gravity, even though a lot of that's Sandra Bullock. A lot of stuff is kind of like, you watch them like, yeah, I remember Oh Brother, Where Art Thou and Out of Sight, but they ain't make a whole bunch of money. Like, and he won one Oscar for Syriana. Denzel has won two, like Denzel's won two, been nominated for like three or four more, could have been nominated for like six more, has been one of the few guys that come out, you know what, my name's in the movie, it's going to make money, no matter what I do. Like, it ain't a lot of less. Like, he's one of the great actors of our generation, and he's directed two movies. And one of them is Happy Fences. Like, it's kind of still weird.
Oh, I didn't know he directed that.
And it's kind of still weird, like, you know, they not on the same level, but they looked at the same level. And a lot of times you look at, and that's the problem where the women actors and everything like that, where Scarlett Johansson had to put the work in to get the chance to be like, oh, we only can do the movie with Scarlett Johansson because she's the only woman that can make money. And that happened because she made Lucy. Somehow that dumbass movie made almost $500 million. I still don't know how, because that movie is trash. And
wait, I thought you liked Lucy.
I did. It's a trash movie. I like the movie. It makes no damn sense whatsoever.
I thought it was on.
And it says something like, you brought in Michael Bay. It's hilarious that Michael Bay used Asian characters better in his fucking Transformers movies, Naked and Ghost in the Shell. Like, that last Transformer movie, basically, the Chinese characters were real people. They weren't lampshades. As we've said all the thing, like, they were actual people. And his misogynistic, racist ass was able to do that, but other people still can't. It's a headache where, and I'm going to say this to Marvel in both the comics and the movies. I don't want to hear this sense ever again. The reason we changed a character from Asian to white is because the original Asian character was a stereotyping caricature, and we didn't want to do it again. Then don't do it. Like, this.
Wait. They changed the character from Japanese to white because the Japanese character was a stereotype?
Mark said that they used that excuse for both Iron Man 3 and Doctor Strange and Iron Fist. This whole, well, the reason we don't have these characters Asian is because we don't want to assume Asians, and we don't make these Asian stereotypes and Asian caricatures, and we want to respect it. So their default thing is, if we can't do the old school Asian character, the only thing we do is make them white, not make a three-dimensional Asian character.
Like, I gotcha.
Yeah, and it's kind of, I think, like, well, why don't you just make the character and make them not racist? Like, Asians, like, a Chinese person is a person, too. It's not a whole thing, like, it's funny, like, when I saw Shinsuke Nakamura on SmackDown, he's treated like a big deal and a superstar. He's just happened to be Japanese. Being Japanese is a big part of the thing, but he's not like, oh, that's the Japanese wrestler. Like they used to do back in the day, like, yeah, treat them like big overgrown children humping trees and spitting mist like they're dragons. Now it's like, oh, they're human beings that just happen to be Japanese. Why can't you do that in the movies? You trying to tell me you couldn't have made the Ancient One Asian? It wasn't a way to do it and have like dignity to role. Like, you're not, if you can't, what's that say about you? Why do you look at these other people where nuance only comes if you're a white guy? Everybody else is like, you're an image or you're an emotion. And that's an ugly look. And we need to fix that.
Yeah. I'm still not done with Iron Fist. We got distracted with nice weather and then also all the wrestling over the weekend. So we're probably hopefully finish it this week, especially with, you know, all the shows being, well, I take that back. All the shows being off the air right now. Legends ended last night, which we didn't have time to get into. And then S.H.I.E.L.D. came back, which I totally forgot. So that sucks. But I'll have to find a way and watch it. But
doesn't ABC have their own streaming thing or something like that?
Okay, so here's the thing with those. What was I trying to watch? I was trying to catch up on Legion because my DirecTV Now doesn't have all the episodes. It does now have them all, but at the time didn't have them. So I went to the FX app, and it said I have to sign in. I was like, well, I thought I already was. So I tried to sign in with my cable provider because I have internet through them. No, you have to have cable TV in order to watch the shows for free on the FX app. Why the fuck do you have an app then?
Yeah,
that makes no sense.
Yeah, some of those apps, it's like CW is the only one that's a headache free. Everyone else is kind of like, this login doesn't work, or you got to do this, or we'll have half the episodes, and this just, yeah, that's why, like, some of those, especially, like, they act like if you miss it, they don't want you watching this show. Like, they make it extremely difficult to catch up on stuff, and it's kind of like that. In this day and age, with how people watch TV, that kind of defeats the purpose. Where the main reason is a lot of shows I was able to catch up to is because the seasons before were streamable. I was able to watch and follow up, like Mr. Robot, Spartacus, Breaking Bad. Like, I didn't start watching Breaking Bad like season 5, but like when it was coming on, I watched we knocked out the first 4 seasons on Netflix, and we were able to catch up. But if it's like a FX show or CBS show, it's like, oh, see you with one of you. You know, I'm not spending $40 on a Blu-ray anymore. Like, no thanks. Now I'm not doing that.
No, well, the worst one for the tournament, we don't have local stations, so I went to the Mark Madness app, which was cool. You got to watch all the games for free. Unless they were on CBS, then you had to go to the CBS app and watch it. And even if you have cable TV, you can only watch live TV on the CBS app if you pay them $6 a month. Yes, you heard that correctly. You're already paying for cable service. But if you want your local station so you can watch live TV with CBS, because if you're 60 years old or higher, that's due, you have to pay them $6 a month. So luckily, I only paid like $3.50 or whatever to watch, so I could watch Michigan blow it. But I couldn't believe that. And I'm afraid to try these other apps because for whatever reason, my DirecTV Now login does not work. I log in and say, who's your TV provider? I put in DirecTV and it doesn't work. So I don't know what the deal is there, but I'll have to tweet at DirecTV and ask them. But I love the CW app. They don't care where you're at. Yeah, watch our shows. We want you to watch it.
Yeah, for all the talk about cord cutting and make things easier, it's like not necessarily. It's like they're trying to make it as difficult as possible, even though it's kind of like people move away from cable with good reason because it costs so damn much. But it's where they make you jump. You shouldn't jump through hoops to watch TV. Yeah. Like, if I'm paying for something, let me watch it.
Yeah. Hey, I'm doing you a favor. I was like, I understand you're creating things for me to watch, but you're also interrupting these creations with your ads for your shitty Pepsi products with Kendall Jenner. So on that note, that's what they call a callback. So let's get out of here. We'll have to figure out when we record next week because it's very clear I'm seeing Fast and the Furious on Thursday next week. I don't think there's any chance that's
happening. I'm lucky because I'm evenings next week, but I'm off Thursday.
Oh, nice. I'll actually have to go to Fandango and see what they got. But so next week, I mean, I don't want you to skip the show, obviously, but if you don't like Fast and the Furious movies, I think we told you not to listen to the show anyways, and that stands. But if you do like them, next week's probably going to be the show for you. So I'm going to get out of here. I'll let you take us out. Peace out, everybody.
For Jeremy Mays, I'm Shahida Dohadi, and all lives matter unless you're drinking Pepsi. We are out.